Chapter 4, in which everything goes into the fire. As he crossed the highway, Jared tried not to jostle the deliberately loose knots that kept his hands bound behind his back. He marched behind a similarly bound Mallory and avoided looking up at the distant shadow of Byron and Simon flying overhead, their only means of escape if things were to go wrong, and the quickest way out if things were to go right. Hogsqueal poked Jared with the tip of the dwarven sword.
"Hurry up, nose pickers!"
"Cut it out," Jared said, nearly stumbling. Thimbletack squirmed against the back of his neck. "We're not even inside yet, and that thing is sharp," Jared said.
"Right,"
the hobgoblin snickered.
"My bad, lump meat."
"Leave Jared alone, or I'm going to show you how to use a sword," Mallory hissed, then suddenly went still. The trees on that side of the highway were almost entirely leafless, blackened, and dead. The few remaining leaves hung from the branches like bats. The trees looked less real than the dwarves' ironwood trees. Just beyond, Jared could see the junkyard. The gate was rusted open, and the worn dirt path was overgrown with patches of dead weeds. A no trespassing sign was stuck in the ground at an odd angle. Old cars, tires, and other trash were stacked in haphazard piles that resembled swells of sand along a beach. And ahead, Jared could see the palace clearly. Its spires gleamed with glass and tin in the full light of the sun. Jared saw several goblins peering out of the rusted heap of a car. Two sniffed the air, and a third began to bark. Then the goblins started to crawl from the vehicle. Each lifted a toad-like head and gnashed teeth of glass and bone. They carried dwarf-forged pikes and curved swords. "Say something," Jared whispered to Hogsqueal.
"I caught the humans,"
Hogsqueal called.
"No thanks to you, trash hounds."
A large goblin scuttled closer. His teeth were made of bottle glass, and they shimmered in the sunlight, brown, green, and clear. He was dressed in a ragged coat with tarnished buttons and a frayed tri-cornered hat. The hat in particular caught Jared's eye because it was dyed a strange ruddy brown. Flies buzzed close.
"You say you captured both?"
"Easily, old large worm rat,"
Hogsqueal bragged.
"There they were, the girls swinging around the sword right here. It's sharp, isn't it? But I was too fast for them. I..."
Wormrat eyed him, and the hobgoblin's words trailed off.
"Okay,"
he started again.
"They were sleeping, and I..."
The goblins began to bark loudly. Whether it was laughter or something else, Jared wasn't sure.
"I still caught the scallywags. They're my prisoners,"
Hogsqueal said, raising Mallory's sword. It looked huge in his small hands and was wobbling slightly. Wormrat barked, and the tip of the sword drooped. Jared glanced upward to see if Simon and Byron were nearby, but they were either well hidden or gone. Jared hoped for what seemed like the millionth time that Simon would be able to control the griffin.
"We do what I say,"
said Wormrat.
"Bring them."
Mallory and Jared were pushed and pulled through the junkyard by a barking mass of goblins. They had to be careful not to step on the jagged pieces of metal that stuck up from the dry dirt at odd angles. Whenever Mallory and Jared slowed, the goblins shoved them and poked them with weapons. Rust from the cars streaked Jared's jeans as he squeezed through the narrow passageways between them. Finally, they were led into a clearing where a dozen more goblins were lazing around a fire. Smallish bones were scattered among the debris. Wormrat grunted and pointed toward a blue car close to the fire.
"Tie the prisoners there."
"We should take them to the Palace of Trash,"
Hogsqueal said, but he sounded half-hearted.
"Quiet,"
barked the big goblin.
"I give commands."
A grinning goblin used a coil of rusty wire to attach Jared and Mallory's tether to the car. As the goblin wrapped the cord around the side mirror, Jared could smell his rotten breath and could see his strange mottled skin, the hair tufting from his ears, the dead white of his eyes, and the long, quivering whiskers that stuck up from his face. The other goblins stood in a circle, leering and waiting.
"Back to your posts, lazy dogs,"
bellowed the large goblin. Then, turning to the goblins that had already been there when he arrived, he scowled.
and the prisoners had better be where I leave them. I go report them to Mulgarath.
Barking, most of his goblins trickled back to their patrols as he left, but a few remained behind to sit around the fire. Jared wriggled his hands. He was sure the knots were still loose enough for him to get free, but he was less sure they were going to be able to get past all of those goblins. Jared and Mallory sat in the cold, sandy dirt for what felt like hours, watching the goblins pick up small lizards and toss them into the fire. The sky began to darken, the sun lighting slashes of gold across the waning day. "Maybe this wasn't such a great plan after all," Mallory said softly. "We're nowhere near Mom, and I don't know where Simon is." "But we're almost there," Jared whispered back. Their hands were close enough that he could take one of hers and squeeze it. "What are they waiting for?" she asked with a groan. "Maybe for the big one to come back," Jared replied. Across the fire, one of the goblins threw a wriggling black thing into the flames.
"They never burn," the goblin said. "I wish they would burn."
"You still couldn't eat them," said another.
A soft voice from Jared's hood reminded him that Thimbletack was still with them.
"Take a gander,"
whispered the brownie.
"Salamander."
Jared looked near his legs. One of the lizard-like things was next to his shoe. It was an opalescent black, with front legs and a long body that tapered to a tail. It was swallowing what appeared to be the tail of another. "Jared," Mallory said, "look in the fire. What are they?" He leaned forward as far as his bonds would let him. There in the flames were all of the salamanders he'd seen the goblins toss, but instead of being scorched, they were sitting calmly as the blaze burned around them. As Jared stared, a few of the creatures moved slightly, one twisting its head and another scuttling deeper into the blaze. They really were immune to the fire. He tried to think back to Arthur's guide. He thought there was something on salamanders, but the images blurred in his mind. These little creatures looked like another illustration, but he couldn't quite put his finger on it. He was too nervous to concentrate, too full of thoughts of his mother and brother and of the goblins so close by. A few moments later, one of the goblins scurried over and poked Jared's stomach with a dirty claw.
"They look so tasty! I could bite off one whole rosy cheek. I bet it would be sweet as candy."
A long line of drool hit the dirt next to Jared. Jared swallowed and looked over at Hogsqueal. The hobgoblin was using the dwarven sword to poke at the fire. He didn't look up, and that made Jared even more nervous. Another goblin followed Jared's glance.
"Wormrat will think he did it,"
the goblin said, pointing to Hogsqueal.
"He was making a fuss before."
Hogsqueal stood up.
"Of all the monkey-toasted, cracker-jack-headed!"
A third goblin approached, running its tongue over jagged teeth.
"So much meat."
"Get away from him," Mallory said. She pulled her hand out of Jared's. Only then did Jared realize he'd been clutching Mallory so tightly that his fingernails had dug into her skin.
"Would you rather we ate you instead?"
asked the goblin sweetly.
"Sugar and spice and everything nice, if that's what little girls are made of. Sounds tasty to me."
"Eat this," Mallory said. She pulled her hands free and punched him in the face. "The sword!" Jared yelled to Hogsqueal, trying to work his wrists out of the rope. The hobgoblin glanced at Jared once, then dropped the dwarven sword and ran from the clearing. "Coward!" Jared yelled furiously. Free of his bindings, he ran toward the fire, but two goblins grabbed hold of his legs and toppled him into the dirt. Crawling forward until his hand could reach the blade, Jared swung the sword hilt first to his sister. His hand stung, and he realized with dazed fascination that he had cut himself. More goblins jumped onto his back, pinning him in the dirt. "Get away from him!" Mallory advanced, sword flashing as she swung it through the air. The goblins backed away from her. She whipped the blade at them. The goblins leaped off Jared and scrambled for their own weapons. "Go! Run!" she yelled. A goblin jumped on her back, biting her shoulder. Jared grabbed the goblin's arm and tugged it off his sister. Mallory kicked another that was approaching. One of the goblins picked up a dwarf-forged pike and swung it at Mallory. She parried it and then lunged, stabbing the goblin with her blade. As the creature howled, Mallory froze, realizing what she'd done. Blood stained the silver sword. The goblin fell, but others were rushing up fast and Mallory was still staring. A screech above them broke her trance. Byron swooped toward the clearing and the goblin scattered, diving underneath trash for cover. The griffin's wings beat heavily, making the dirt dance. "Come on," Jared said, grabbing at Mallory's arm. Together, they leaped onto the rusted hood of a station wagon and then jumped down into a narrow path of corroded fencing. They ran past an overturned bathtub and a stack of tires. A series of doors were leaned up against a refrigerator, and as they passed them, Jared stopped abruptly. There, lying on a carpet of corrugated metal, was a cow.